Well, I would like to thank you again for having me back for one more Sunday. And they said, keep on coming back. So here we are. And I probably won't be saying that anymore.
Thank
you. Yes. Hey, I'd like for you to open up your Bibles to James. You know, we're in a series out of James. And as you drove in the driveway, perhaps you saw that Mitch put up a sign out there that indicated that we're going to be talking about the life that God desires. And according to verse 20 of chapter 1, the life God desires for His people is a righteous life. And I wonder if you wish that you had lived a righteous life your whole life. And I wonder if you wish that you had been able to live a righteous life, especially as a Christian. A righteous life is one that is built on the Word of God. In our text today, which is James 1, 19 through 27, there is an emphasis on the Word of God. And I would like for you to notice that emphasis as I read our text. I would like for you to subconsciously count how many times the Word of God or some kind of reference like that is made to the Word of God as we read our text this morning. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, or wherefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Did you catch the emphasis on the Word of God? How many times did you notice either the Word of God used or some facsimile that represented the Word of God? Eight times? Whoa, you count a whole lot more than me. Whew. Anybody else? Jolene counts four times. Clark, you're looking at it different than how I'm looking at it, I think. He is. So we'll have to talk about that afterwards. Four. Verses 21 and 22 and 23 and the perfect law of liberty, I think, representing the Word of God in verse 25. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord concluded His message out of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 with a story that is familiar to all. The story of the house built on the rock, the story of the house built on the sand. Many individuals miss the point of this little story. For those of you who have read it, are familiar with it, what is the point of the story? The house built on the rock, the house built on the sand. What is the point? Just anybody. Or hold up your hand and say. Okay, got to have good foundation. All right. Anything else? It's got to be the weather today. Anybody else? First things first. The point of that story is, Jesus said, the person who hears my word and puts it into practice is the person whose house is built on a rock. The man, woman, child who hears my word and does not put it into practice is like the person who built their house on the sand. If I am going to have a life that God desires, a righteous life, you will have a life that is built on the Word of God and a life that is obedient to the Word of God. The righteous life that James writes about is a life that has multiple characteristics. And might our prayer be this morning, Word of God, speak to me. Let me hear and let me obey. The righteous life James writes about is one where a person is slow to anger. We read that in the first verse. The righteous life is one where a person is slow to anger. He doesn't blow his top. He doesn't blow his stack. You know, we have all met individuals who wear their feelings on their sleeves. It takes just a little bit to set them off. And I hope that you aren't one of these kind of people. It's not very becoming of the righteous life that God desires. The writer of Proverbs warns, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. I was listening to a Christian radio station just this past week, and the subject was, how do you respond to somebody who cuts in front of you? And the man on the radio was talking about something that had happened to him years ago about someone who was cutting in line in an airport. And there, he said, like there were 100 people in line, and there was this lady who kept just every time they would move one person, she'd move two people. Another person would move, and she'd move up three people. So this idea of somebody cutting in on you, I appreciated the answers that were called in by individuals about how they could respond in a right way. But I never heard anyone say that you needed to simply do and say nothing. Just let it happen. Just ignore it. Be bigger than the individual who is cutting in front of you. When you think about our Lord, just think about the things that were said to him, how rude people were to him, how people cut in line in front of him. He never blew a stack in uncontrolled anger. We know that he had righteous indignation in the temple when they were doing with the temple what they should never have done, but Jesus never had uncontrolled anger. He was slow to anger. And a person who is slow to anger is also a person who is quick to listen. He is a person who is ready to hear, ready to listen. In the larger context of James, what we have already looked at in the last couple of weeks, we know that he's been talking about trials and temptations, and we know that sometimes the trials and the temptations can be very difficult. But we are told to pray for wisdom, so that we might be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. A lot of times when trials and temptations come our way, One of the things we do is to mumble and to complain. A person who is slow to become angry is also a person who is slow to speak. And this is difficult for some. I don't know if you've ever had these kind of conversations, but there are some people who are always talking and never listening. They have opinions about everything. They don't believe that they can learn from anyone. And they forget Zeno's practical advice that said, we have two ears, but only one mouth, that we might hear more and speak less. When it comes to the way James would have us listen and hear God's word, he doesn't want us to react negatively to the word. You remember what Jonah did. He said to the Lord, take my life. It's better for me to live, to die than to live. And he said, I am angry enough to die. You think about Moses one time in the Old Testament. One time he spoke in haste, and what happened to him? Remember that story? What happened to him? Spoke in haste one time. What happened to him? You remember, he's not able to go into the promised land because he spoke in haste one time. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Moses, on that particular occasion, was not slow to anger. He just blew up. And it cost him going into the promised land. When we aren't quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to become angry, our anger does not bring about the right life that God desires. For we understand that God does not give us His Word to make us angry, but He gives us His Word to help us live a righteous life. He would also indicate to us in verse 21 that He wants, let me say it like this, He wants us to get sin out of our house. Whether we like it or not, sin can still affect a Christian's life. And James, in part, is writing about, you know, he said there in verse number 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. One of the things that God wants for us, obviously, as we know, is that he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. The word Paul uses sometimes is sanctification. And so he urges us there in verse number 21 that we must strive to eliminate moral filth and evil from our lives. James is talking about Christians. He's writing to Christians. He's talking about how sin affects our life, how sin affects our hearing of the Word of God. The word moral filth there, if you use the King James or you like that, it's about filthiness. It describes somebody who has on filthy clothes, dirty clothes, grimy clothes. And James would say to us, I want you to get rid of, I want you to have an abhorrence of all sin. My father-in-law, bless his heart, he's going to be 90 years old this year, plays golf 3 days a week, still is in good health, but for the number of years that I've heard him, he's had some difficulty hearing. And part of the problem with his hearing is that his body manufactures lots of wax. And it makes it difficult for us sometimes when we're sitting at the table for him to hear the conversation that's going on. We might be sitting right next to him and say something to him, and he doesn't hear us because there is wax in his ears. Now, he's getting that all straightened out because he's getting hearing aids, and it's helping him a whole lot. But sin in our lives can act as wax in our ears so that we don't hear the Word of God clearly. Sin makes it difficult to hear God's Word. Sin in our lives can also pervert our blind our minds. I don't know if you've ever found yourself saying about certain sins that may be in your life or in the lives of others, well, that's not so bad. The righteous life that God desires is one where, as it says about God in the Bible, His eyes are too pure to look on evil. And I have to ask myself, and I have to ask you as well, are we excusing any particular sin or sins in our lives that are making it difficult for the Word of God to penetrate into our hearts? We need to be like David, who said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." The righteous life God desires is one that doesn't hide sin, but one, he says, that humbly accepts God's word, humbly receives God's word. It's not always easy to receive the word of God with humility and meekness. But that's what God would have of us. He wants us to have the attitude of little children who are eager to hear. We have 10 grandchildren, about 14 down to 6, I think, or 5. Grandma, you know. What are they? 14 down to about 6? 5. And some of those grandkids are eager to hear Grandma tell stories. They want to know stories about Jolene's life. They want to hear stories about Grandma and Grandpa. And they just really, they sit there in rapt attention, listening to the same story over and over. It's not always easy to accept God's word as God's word. Paul commended the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 when he said, "When we preach the word of God to you, you accepted it as it is, the word of God, which is at work within you." You know, Paul wrote and also said that the scripture was given to rebuke and to correct, and none of us, I don't think, like to be rebuked. None of us like to be corrected. But James says, when it comes to the Word of God, you and I are to receive it in meekness and not in rebellion. I don't know if you've ever had sin in your life, but you might be saying in your heart, "God, I don't want to hear what you have to say to me today." Oh, how much we need to be like little Samuel, that little child who was in the temple with Eli, and God was calling him, and he called him 4 different times. And finally, with the instruction from Eli, Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Eager to hear what God had to say. And so there are 5 or 6 things that James mentions which helps us be better prepared to receive God's word so that we might have the righteous life that He desires. James also warns us not to be a pretender when it comes to hearing the word of God. Listen again as we read, beginning with verse 22. He said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." There is a danger in coming to church. There is danger in hearing God's word. There is danger in listening to His word on the radio station, because it's easy for us to confuse hearing with doing. We can play all kinds of psychological games with ourselves. We might say, "I would like to know more of God's word." when knowledge itself becomes the end game. We might say, when I come to church, I want to feel more. We might say, we got nothing from the service today if our emotions weren't stirred. I didn't cry. I didn't laugh. Preacher, you failed to step on my toes this morning. I don't feel guilty about my life. People do prefer the sentimental, and they say, oh, that was a great message. But even before they get home from church, the sentiment and the emotion are gone. It is not enough to remember what we hear, repeat what we hear, give testimony to what we heard, nor simply to commend it if we are no better than we were. We may hear of Christ's love one day, but on the next day, are we like Paul who said, His love compels me to do this or to do that? We may hear of the blessing of glory, but we find it difficult to lay up treasure in heaven. We may hear of the coming judgment, but does it make us more truthful and honest and God-fearing? There is danger in hearing God's word because we may find it very easy to confuse hearing with doing. We also may find it easy to be a forgetful hearer. James uses that illustration about God's word acting like a mirror. And we look in a mirror, how many, I'm assuming, maybe we could look at each other and determine whether or not we looked in the mirror this morning. You know, I suppose that everybody this morning looked in the mirror. We look in the mirror in order to see what we need to do with our face. If you have any blemishes, what are you going to do with your blemishes? You look at your hair and you see what your hair is like. My wife doesn't appreciate the fact that I can take a shower and I come out and my hair is ready to go. I don't hardly even need to do anything with it. Don't hardly need to look in the mirror. But let's say you do look in the mirror and then your children call you or your grandchildren call you and need your help. Or just while you're in the process of looking in the mirror, the cell phone rings or the home phone rings. Or you get caught away by some other kind of distraction. The teapot is whistling. And we forget to take care of whatever the need was. So it is said in James about the man who looks, who sees a need, and he doesn't take care of it right away. He forgets until he looks in the mirror again. You know, when our children were little, sometimes they would say to us, okay, I hear you. But they failed to do what they were told to do. They heard, but they forgot, and so they failed to obey. God isn't interested in those who pretend to hear the word. Pretending to hear, and just this idea of confusing hearing with doing, and hearing and not putting into practice and forgetting what we heard, it is not the righteous life that God desires for us. Rather than being pretenders of the word, he would rather have us practice the word. And we're going to read this final section here. But the man, verse 25, who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. And if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. His religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this is to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. rather than being pretenders of the word, he would have us practice his word. And he tells us that the doer is going to be blessed. I love the old hymn. Maybe we sing it here from time to time. Haven't yet, but trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. But it's not just in the trusting, but it's also in the obeying. The story about the wise and foolish man, the house built on the rock, the house built on the sand, has to do with obedience to the word. You know, the people could have heard Jesus' message, and they did a lot of times. They heard his words. They were amazed by his words. Nobody ever talked like this man. Jesus wasn't taken in by the praise of men. He was looking for obedience out of our lives. Obedience to his word. Someone has said that which is heard in the holy place must be lived out in the marketplace. The man, the woman, the child who is obedient to what he or she reads in God's word, the Bible says they will be blessed. They will be blessed in what they do. He also says that the doer will be free. He describes the word of God as the law of liberty. The perfect law that gives freedom. And when we obey the word, we are set free from sin and death and guilt and shame. And we are freed from the bondage all those things bring. You know, it was our Lord who said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Free." Jesus said, "I am the truth." And he said about his Father's word, "Thy word is truth." When we meditate, ruminate, that's what cows do with the cud. They ruminate, they chew on it more and more and more. When we think about God's word and how it applies to our lives, and then we obey that word, we can be freed from the strongholds of sin that are in our life. It is John, the gospel writer, who says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." It was also Paul who wrote and said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord was, there is freedom." Just as Moses, you remember that story, how Moses went up into the mountain. He was in the presence of the Lord. He came down from the mountain. He didn't know what happened to him, but his face was all aglow. And Paul uses that kind of as an analogy in Corinthians when he said, when we are looking into the Word, when we are looking to Jesus, as Moses was transformed outwardly, we are transformed inwardly as we gaze on the truth, Jesus, and his Word, which is truth. And finally, notice what James said about a religious life, a righteous life. The doer will be accepted by God. The doer will keep a tight rein on his tongue. It is incredible to me. Sometimes I listen to the news, and I've heard individuals indicate on screen, on air, that they are Christians. And I hear them say, "OMG." all the time. And it's incredible to me the number of Christians who misuse the name of God, who don't keep a tight rein on their tongue. June, right? June. June and I were talking last Sunday after church about this matter of gossip and how we have to be very careful or walk in a tight line between what's truth and what's gossip, whether to talk or whether not to talk, whether to share or not to share. The man or woman or child who lives a righteous life is one who will be quick to hear and slow to speak because he keeps a tight rein on his tongue. The doer will care for the fatherless and the widows in their distress. Verse 26 and 27 are messages of their own. But ever since the beginning of time or shortly thereafter, there have been orphans, the fatherless, and there are widows. We could ask today how many widows there are. There are always widows. There are always children that don't have somebody to care for them. James writes and says, pure and undefiled religion is this, to care for the orphans, and widows, and their distress. He says the third thing here is that the doer who's going to be accepted by God is one who keeps himself polluted by the world. Around our house, our landscaping, and if the worship team, if you want to make your way up here, you can do this while I finish up with this little story. Around our house in Anderson, we have rock that is around the house in the landscaping. And I just realized in the last couple of weeks that the rock in certain places has gotten dirty. And it never dawned on me that which is closest to the house under the underhang is clean. But that which is outside the overhang is dirty. And I need to power wash it because I like to power wash things. But you know what? That rock didn't do anything. It just sat there all these years, 50 years, and it's become polluted by dirt just by being there present. And so it happens that in our lives, just by being around people, by being in the world, by things that we hear on TV or things that we hear on the radio or even what other people say, it can pollute our lives. And the Lord doesn't want us to have a polluted life. The righteous life that God desires for us is the obedient life built on His Word. And it is the one that will be blessed. Our Heavenly Father, how we need Your help to live our lives in a way that pleases You. How we need the strength of the Spirit who lives in us to help us to overcome. And Father, we know that Your Son lived a righteous life. He showed us how to live. And He gave us power to live the way He lived. And I pray, Father, that You will help us as we prepare our lives to hear Your Word, and that we would not be pretenders of the Word, but we would find out the truth, that when we practice Your Word, when we are obedient to it, that's when the blessing comes. Because we want to be happy in Jesus, and we want to be happy in this life. So, Father, we would continue to pray that if there are those here today who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would accept Him this day, be obedient to Him, as they would confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that they might be obedient to Him as they give their lives to Him in repentance. And as they would be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, that their sins might be forgiven, that they might receive that gift of the Holy Spirit to strengthen them. Oh, Father, help us this day to be receptive and to act upon Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for being a great and gracious God, for giving us information on which we can act that will lead us to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.